Okay, welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com. Really fun show today because we have with us a guest coming to the Art Center on Saturday, November 9th for an 8 p.m. show, the bad boy of bluegrass, Mr. Sam Bush.
Apparently I am, and that's I guess you're talking Art in terms of what I had said at the IBMA Awards show.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I came up with that line because my wife Lynn has been saying that for years. You know, all these years, all you do is play the mandolin and sing love songs, and you're still the bad boy. But what they had written for me was not near that flattering. So we decided to use that line when Kitsy Kuykendall and I were presenting the Entertainer of the Year Award.
Yes, indeed. And apparently that is a better idea than depending on that particular teleprompter there at the Ryman. But that was fun, and there's a lot of truth to it, too, though, even though you have hit age 60, you still are so youthful on stage, and you still seem to have that same energy of way back in Bluegrass Alliance days.
Well, you know, it's interesting that all my whole, you know, professional life or musical life, that when it's time to play, I don't feel anything but the music. It's a joyful experience, and my mind, I'm able to channel my energy to the music that's being played, and not, you know, hey, we all have our things that we're going through every day, and so I kind of am able to, you know, take all that, leaves my thought pattern, and I'm just enjoying playing with the other musicians.
Fantastic. That comes across on stage, and I've seen you play from all those years at Merle Fest, where you're certainly royalty there, even if you are the king of Telluride.
I never named myself that, by the way.
Yes.
I didn't know I was old enough to be king of anything. But, well, and once again, and yeah, especially at Merle Fest, it's funny, you know, it'll be wintertime, and I'll be talking to the people at Merle about, well, you know, would you like to do this? Sure. And how about playing on this set? Sure. And then I get to Merle Fest, and you get the schedule, and before you know it, the last couple of years, I've literally been going from one stage to another on a golf cart with just enough time to get to the next one. And, boy, I look up and like 7 hours have gone by, and I've been on four or five sets in a row, and it's just it doesn't seem so overwhelming when I'm sitting at home saying yes to everything. But and it is actually, it's not overwhelming that day. It's just that once the playing day is over, then I sit down and take a deep breath and go, okay, I'm tired.
Yeah.
but once again, it's a joyful thing, and especially like in this past year, when, and as many years in the past, I've, you know, gotten to play on a couple different sets with Doc and Watson in one day, and you know, that was and will be, you know, a privilege. So you got to say yes to stuff like that. You got to, I got to be on Mandomania.
Yeah.
And if the Waybacks want an extra hand up there on the Hillside stage on their album hour, sure.
Yeah. You give away 45 minutes here and 45 minutes there, and you're talking about real time after a while.
Well, yeah. But once again, it's a, I don't even know if you can call it a labor of love. I just love to do it.
Indeed, and that comes across so clearly on stage, regardless of with whom you're playing. You can even see it in the picture, especially the inside picture here on Circles Round Me. It captures that smile against the stage light, that sheer joy you have playing the mandolin or fiddling, that people have been drawn to all the way back to Bluegrass Alliance and through those many years leading the Newgrass Revival.
Yep, it's all fun. It's all fun.
And it is fun, and you've made a really fun style of music that people respond to well wherever we've seen you, because it takes... it's such a strong bluegrass bass, but you play it with a rock sensibility, and that combination works marvelously.
Well, you know, growing up, I mean, formative year, I was born in 52, obviously, but you know, getting of teenage musical age in the 60s, you know, I don't know if there were as many labels on music or specific, you know, areas of where, you know, so I would just listen to bluegrass. I would listen to country music. Got to watch Ed Sullivan Show and see the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Jefferson Airplane, the Doors, watch the Smothers Brothers, watch folk, I guess the folk music show was called Shindig. No, that was rock and roll.
Yeah,
Hootenanny was on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, being a big Bob Dylan fan, and of course I discovered Doc Watson during the folk boom when his first album came out on Vanguard. So I've just been influenced by all that stuff, and it's all just good music. I think Norman Blake said one time, he goes, "Well, there's only good music and bad music, and I like good."
Good choice, Norman.
Yeah.
Folks always compliment him on his taste.
He is incredibly tasteful.
He is. And let's close out this segment of the Art Spot with the tune Apple Blossom from your Sugar Hill release, Circles Around Me, that features the banjo of Courtney Johnson, with whom you played most of the 1970s.
Yeah, and that cut was originally, we had recorded a few different fiddle and banjo numbers for the Newgrass Revival When the Storm Is Over record, and that one hadn't been used, and I was looking for a fiddle and banjo tune. And the man to put on Circles Around Me, and the man that co-produced that record, Garth Fundis, at the time owned the studio where I was doing it, and he says, "I found some old tapes of you and Courtney playing fiddle and banjo duet." And so I was very fortunate that Garth found those tapes, and brings a smile to my face to hear old Courtney play the banjo on that.
Indeed, mine as well. We'll be back on the Art Spot after this music and a couple of announcements. Welcome back to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com. Visiting today with Mr. Sam Bush from Nashville, Tennessee. He's bringing the Sam Bush Band to the Art Center in Carrboro on Saturday, November 9th for an 8 p.m. show. For more information, artcenterlive.org, 919-929-2787. And thanks to Shared Vision Foundation for their support of Sam Bush Band at the Art Center. Well, Sam, you are nominated in the CMA, the Country Music Association Awards this year. Which
I am. I'm thrilled. I was one of the five finalists last year as well. So it really comes as a big surprise. I mean, as much as I love country music, it's amazing to be included in the CMA Awards, because I mean, I don't consider that I, you know, play country music for a living. Certain country things are part of what we do in the Sam Bush Band, but their criteria, you know, used to be that you had to play on as a sideman on recordings, I don't know, a number of top 10 records in the country music field, and I didn't do that, you know, in this past voting year. And so, obviously, they've opened up their ideas, because I mean it's pretty wide open. Mac McAnally, great guitar player, won last year, and Mac is one of the nominees, as is Paul Franklin, steel guitar extraordinaire. Brent Mason, who is one of the somebody said he's one of the electric, he's the electric guitar that ate Nashville in the 90s, and a great electric guitar player named Dan Huff, who is also makes his living. Besides guitar playing, as a country music producer for, you know, major acts, and so it's pretty amazing. And I think back to when, you know, some of my buddies were winning these awards, like Jerry Douglas and Mark O'Connor. So who knows? But the good part is Lynn and I get in free, and we go to the show, and then the next day, Sam Bush Band will be playing in Denver. So so November 1st is when the CMA Awards is on. And something else that's kind of funny to me that's going on, I don't know if you've seen it, there's a network show that's going to come on, I guess ABC Network, I think it comes on October 10th, called Nashville.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, it's not a reality show. It's a series with a storyline, and it's being filmed here in Nashville. And so they're having the actors really have to sing their own songs, and so they're using Nashville musicians to back them. And I've played on some of those songs on their soundtrack, and then there'll be one of the characters' name is Deacon, and Deacon is supposed to play at the Bluebird Cafe here every third Thursday. So the two segments that he's done that, I'm like Deacon's fiddler standing there. So, you know,
just standing there,
kind of like being the Dillards on the Andy Griffith Show. You don't really have any lines, and but you just stand there and play.
Indeed, at least the Dillards didn't get to play a lot and not a lot.
Well, Andy turned that into a great way to showcase the Dillards, and they didn't even have to do any lines. So that was the funniest thing about it.
It was, and another friend we lost this year, in addition to Doc and Earl, was Doug Dillard.
It has been a strange year, yeah, with Doc Watson, Doug Dillard, Earl Scruggs. Here in Nashville, a good friend of mine he played many years as the rhythm guitar player. You can see him over the years, rhythm guitar, and with Roy Acuff. His name was Charlie Collins.
Yeah.
And we lost poor Charlie this year, too. So
he was a really nice person.
Oh, and one of the greatest rhythm guitar players. When I first saw him, he and Larry McNeely were sort of playing a duet, and then he and Larry went on to, you know, play in Roy Acuff's band, and Charlie stayed there for, you know, until Mr. Acuff died. And so,
yeah. And Mr. Acuff was a real champion of yours back when you were a long-haired kid getting into this music.
Well, he was more a champion of me before I had the long hair. Yes, you're right. You're right, Art. And when I was a kid, my father and I got to know Mr. Acuff and Bashful Brother Oswald and the Smoky Mountain. Howdy Forrester, the fiddler, was one of my heroes. Yeah, it was about, I was 16 years old, and it was a Friday night. My dad and I, we would come down to the Grand Ole Opry, and backstage at Mr. Acuff's dressing room, it would just be a running fiddle jam session.
Yeah.
And then Roy, about 5 minutes, would have to go, okay, boys, let's hit the first tune we're going to play, and kind of gather the troops. But it'd be a big fiddle jam, and so Roy loved fiddlers, and my dad and I were standing on side stage watching Mr. Acuff was about to go on. And Roy went up to my dad and unbeknownst to me, he said, go get his fiddle. I'm going to put him on stage. And so my dad went and got my fiddle, and all of a sudden I see my dad walk up, and he's got my fiddle and bow, and he goes, Roy's going to put you on. What are you going to play? And I'm glad I didn't know about that beforehand, because I think I would have stood there and got so nervous. Man, I don't know if I could have held a fiddle. I think my hands would have been shaking too badly to play. So, and that particular night, Charlie Collins on guitar and I just walked out and played a fiddle tune with just Charlie on the guitar. So, fond memory. And another person that, that I've been playing with in the last few years off and on, and done some few gigs here and there, was Levon Helm. Really loved Levon. So it's been for the music business, it's kind of taken some hits for our legendary heroes this year.
Yes, indeed. And the great circle of life. But speaking of great musicians, Sam, who will be playing in the Sam Bush Band at the Arts Center on Saturday, November 9th?
Well, been fortunate for years getting to play with the same guys. Of course, we'll have the great Scott Vestal on the five-string banjo. He makes that thing sing. And Stephen Mogen on the guitar and the vocals. Todd Parks on upright bass and electric bass. And of course, Chris Brown and his Drums of Renown. We were nominated as a band for the Instrumental Group of the Year in IBMA this year. And I was just that's the one I was really hoping we'd win, so that Chris Brown could be the first drummer to ever step to the mic and accept an IBMA award. But I expected the boxcars to win, and they did. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, that day will come someday. We're a long way past the time when I had a promoter deny that Jimmy Martin's son was on stage playing drums with him when he was in plain sight.
Well, it's always been kind of interesting to me because although none of them's ever had heavy drums or anything, but I mean, heck, we've got drums on Flat and Scruggs records,
yeah,
and snare drum, and Osborne Brothers used them, Jim and Jesse used them. Everybody, almost every person from the 60s and 50s, you can find, Jimmy Martin, he always had, usually have a snare drum. And yeah, it was the first time I ever saw Jimmy Martin in Roanoke, Virginia in 1965. Young Timmy was on snare drum. It just held the beat. And interesting to me that when I was a kid, I would play in square dance bands, square dancers really want a snare drum playing. And not to mention all the instruments in a square dance band, you would amplify with the old time DeArmond pickups. So square dancers, you had to get it a certain volume to get above the sound of the dancers, because a lot of them wore taps on their shoes.
Yeah.
And so they liked it a certain volume. And it was always interesting to me that the bluegrass and some folk music would be the only style of music that I would play with people that either that was unamplified and didn't use drums. So, I feel fortunate that I got to play in a lot of different musical areas as a kid, and I guess that all leads up to what we do now.
Yes, indeed. This is Sam Bush. I'm Art Menias, and we will be back on the Art Spot right after this. We're back on the Art Spot on WCHL FM 97.9, talking with Mr. Sam Bush, who will be at the Art Center Saturday, November 9th for an 8 p.m. show. ArtCenterLive.org, 919-929-2787. Sam, you went on tour last November with our dear friend Del McCurry. Tell us about that collaboration.
It's funny. I guess I met Del in 1970 when I first started going on the road with the Bluegrass Alliance, and he always encouraged me to sing, and that I should, sing more, and because I used to be rather shy about singing, but I had to become the lead singer our band was, the Bluegrass Alliance. It was, Tony Rice and Courtney Johnson, Ebo Walker, Lonnie Pierce, and me. Well, when Tony left the band, and Tony and I both sang lead, but he sang more. And when he left the band, I sort of became the lead singer because we, as of all the people that we would try to get to join the band, nobody could do it, and I sort of became the lead singer out of default, I think. Yeah. And then one of the very first Newgrass Revival gigs, we were on the way to Lakeland, Florida, and my hand got caught in a car door, my right hand. So it's all I could do to sort of play during the show, but I couldn't jam any. And we'd be jamming at night around a campfire down there, and Del McCurry and the Dixie Pals were there, and I was just dying to jam, but I couldn't. And Del just encouraged, said, "Well, you can sing, can't you? You can sing." So he's always encouraged me to do that, and of course, getting to know him over the years, we love all the McCurry family so much. They're just a wonderful family, and I love Ronnie and Rob and Rhonda and Gene, but especially Del. And and when we sing together, we just have so much fun. And we got to talk and realized, well, why don't when time of year if nobody's band's busy, maybe we can just band up and. It's not going to be exactly Monroe Brothers style, but it's just going to be the two of us, and I'm really looking forward to it. But I got to tell you, when you square off with Del on a microphone, it's the moment of truth.
Sure is.
I keep up with him, and really, my wife Lynn, she encouraged us. She said, when you and Del start sitting around telling stories, it's funny, and so you should tell stories, you should sing duets. Music's probably the easy part for us.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show, Sam, and even more fun on Saturday, November 9th, when we welcome the Sam Bush Band to the stage of the Earl and Rhoda Wynn Theater at the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, 8 p.m. show on Saturday, November 9th, artcenterlive.org or 919-929-2787. For more information, we'll see you there. Thanks for listening to The Art Spot.